Today on Real Radio.
How can we serve you? We serve you best by being faithful. Faithful. That is getting up every day and living your life for others.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at the first 14 verses of chapter 4, where Paul describes the Corinthian believers as servants and stewards, and then goes on to explain what that really means. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called How Can We Serve You?
Chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says to the church at Corinth, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord," verse 5, "therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts." Wow. "Then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up." The word is an inflated or an airbag. The word means airbag, that you don't turn into an airbag on behalf of one against another. "For who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? You are already full," says Paul to them. He says, "You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you." Verse 9, "For I think that God has displayed us." He's talking about the ministers of the gospel, the apostles, "last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring." We would today use the word scum. "Of all things until now, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you." What a passionate plea. Paul is saying to them what we learned about last week is this, that concerning the ministry that he was entrusted to the church, and he's saying, for that matter, every minister of the gospel. And church, listen, this morning, it's not just me. It's those that are handing out flyers and bulletins at the doorway. It's the diaper changers in the children's ministry. Yes, to whom much is given, much is required. Yes, there is a tremendous judgment day that will be to the man or woman who opens up the Word of God in a teaching setting. There's a grave judgment to those who teach the Bible. The Bible says so. I believe personally that what I've been called to do should be avoided at all cost, unless you're called to do it. I'm indebted to John MacArthur, who wrote in his commentary on Timothy a powerful statement regarding the calling of the public teaching ministry or the pastoral duties of a church regarding the welfare of a church. He says, concerning the calling to the pulpit ministry of being a pastor teacher, he said, a man is called and he is chained to the pulpit, chained. Jeremiah said it. Paul said it. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. It's got to be done. But John MacArthur went on to say, though they be chains that chain a man to the preaching and the giving forth of the gospel, they're velvet chains. But remember, he said, they're chains nonetheless. But I like that picture. I'm chained to the pulpit. That pulpit being, of course, the place of the Bible. But it's wrapped in velvet chains. They are children's ministers right now ministering to your children. And they've got to do it not because someone put a gun to their head. They're doing it because they've been praying for your kids. They're doing it because they're called to do that. And that is an awesome thing, and it's a glorious thing. When someone is called to do what they do, it is a joyful thing. And we saw this last time when Paul is basically saying to the church at Corinth, how can we serve you? We learned this. We serve you best by being faithful. Faithful. That is getting up every day and living your life for others. If you're a parent in this room, you got up every day since that baby was born. You got up every day and you lived your life for that child. That's what a parent does. That's why God, by the way, tells us to call him Abba, Papa, Father, because he is constantly like that. He loves you every day. I know you and I don't feel loved every day, but the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus died, he died on that cross to announce to us every day that God loves us. And let's not sugarcoat it. The reason why Jesus died on the cross is because the Bible says we are rotten, stinking sinners. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might say, I find that highly offensive. Just sit down. Wait a minute, I'm not done. He loved you so much, says the Bible, that Jesus died on that cross for you. Don't get offended by that because you got your feelings hurt. The truth of the matter is, you and I, it's our sin that put Jesus on the cross, but that's not the end of the story. Jesus died on the cross to liberate us from our sins. He didn't die on the cross to condemn us. If God wanted us condemned, Jesus never would have come. If God wanted you to stay in hell or to go to hell, he never would have given us his Bible. And I want you to open your eyes spiritually this morning that there's a great rage in the world against the Bible, against the cross, and against Jesus. And I want to submit to you this morning, the reason why that's true is because there's a demonic power that wants you dead without Christ. And that demonic power is called the devil. Satan. You say, I don't believe in him. Well, Jesus did. Jesus talked about him. The Bible talks about him. And you are caught in a great struggle between two worlds, between heaven and hell. And God has done everything to get you into his presence. There's nothing more he can do. And Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, and they had gotten so carnal, they had gotten so much like the world, that they weren't even effective anymore. And how would the message go out? How could hope go out to the world if they were compromising it? Truth, salvation. And Paul addresses them. And so it is by being faithful. We saw this, that it's all about commitment. Faithful to the commitment as Christians. We saw that in verse 2. Faithful to the commitment that God has called us to put forth, to give out, to announce. We also saw that it's the confidence. We are to be faithful to the confidence that it's not in us. We are people that have been redeemed. Yes, we're going to heaven, but we're weak. Our confidence is in Christ. And I wonder how many of you believe that. Honestly, our confidence is not to be in man. Our confidence is to be in Christ. Where do you look? Where do you turn when difficulties come? Where do you run? Always run to Jesus first. Always run to the Word of God first. Paul did that in his own life. The Bible says in Galatians 1:10 that Paul called himself a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word bondservant means that he was not only bought out of the slave market, but he was now a willful servant of the Lord, and Paul's confidence was in that place. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, but I want to be ministered to. I understand that. We all do. And God will minister to you if you're willing. But one of the strange things about God working in the lives of his people, church, listen carefully, is that many times God ministers to you and I when we decide to minister to one another. I don't understand it, but when we give up the focal point of self and make someone else as the attention of and the affection of our love for God, God winds up meeting our need. Now that goes against the wisdom of the world. but our confidence is not in that. It's in Christ. We also saw, thirdly, in this first point, is that we're to be faithful to the calling. He said that in verse 5. He says this, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts." That's the human heart. God knows exactly what's in all of our hearts. And he says, "Then each one's praise will come from God." Now we pick it up, church. Here we go. Part 2 of our message. How can we serve you is Paul's question to them. It's found in verses 6 through 8. It's this. We serve you best by being humble. By being humble. Verse 6 teaches us this, that we're to be knowing who we are in Jesus Christ. In verse 6, he says, "Now these things, brethren, I have in a figurative manner, a type, in a symbolic manner, I've transferred." That is, I'm using myself, he would say. He's using Apollos. He's using the other speakers, the other ministers, the other apostles. He says, "For your sakes, I make this type, that you may learn in us." You should circle that, that you, in my Bible, it's highlighted. "That you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another." See, what is he talking about? You guys, humility, Christianity and humility must be inseparable. You cannot be an arrogant Christian. That's impossible. Jesus never walked around on a gold-plated with gold-plated sandals or a black-tinted donkey with an entourage. He didn't have a front team show up, you know, and everybody secure the buildings. And here, Jesus is in the room. He's in the building. He didn't do that. And the apostles and the disciples, they would preach the gospel and get in trouble, and they got thrown out of the next town. They went from town to town preaching the gospel. As today, as I mentioned earlier, today's the day of the day of prayer for the persecuted church. Most of Christians in the world regarding Christianity are under persecution today. 2 weeks ago, I met with a Christian family who fled Egypt, and they've come here. Now they go to this church because of persecution against Christians in Egypt in the 21st century, and it's increasing. Why does that stuff happen? For many reasons, I'm sure. But one of us is to keep our feet on the ground and to keep us humble. Jesus was humble, and we are to find our place in him, knowing who we are in Jesus. So Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, "You guys are goofy. You guys got big heads boasting over which one of your apostles is the most prominent." It's almost like church wars. "Our pastor's greater than your pastor. Our pastor's greater than yours." That's insane and carnal. It's wrong. Technically, you know that as a minister, remember last week we learned what the under oarsman was, the word that Paul used? Oh man, some of you do remember, huh? He was the guy that's rowing underneath the guys that are rowing above him. And everything from the top comes down. Paul used that word. He's announcing to the Corinthian church, "Hey, you know what? Wake up, you guys. You're all puffed up. Let's remember, it's all about Jesus, and it's about who we are in Jesus." Remember John the Baptist? This is a very rarely quoted verse, though you know it well because it sticks in your heart. Very rarely do you ever hear this message on John 3:30. John the Baptist said concerning his own ministry and Jesus' ministry, John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." What's the answer to a successful church? A church that is willing to decrease. You guys, there are seminars around the world on how to grow a church. And in my opinion, I mean, I've never been to any of them because they're like $300. Imagine if you just kept the $300 at home, you could help grow your church. Why would you go sit down and have some church expert tell you how to grow the church? If the guy knew what he was talking about, he would be at his own church taking care of his own flock. So pay $300 and learn how to grow a church. Your church will grow 10% a year. Well, when I see those flyers and mailings that come to me, I never go. Why? Because our church grows more than 10 or 15 or 20% in size every year. Why would I go to that seminar to slow down the growth of the church? No, you know what? It's all about Jesus. It's about his love for you. It's about what he's done for you. It's about the cross. It's about God reaching out to you. It's all about you meeting with God. And we're devoted and committed to you reading your Bible, knowing God and letting him speak to you personally. Christianity is made known to the world, not by how famous it is, but to display what Jesus is like. The biblical representation of Christianity is all about who's Jesus. It's not about what my church or what our church or what this church says or does. It's all about Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles," says Paul, "who am not worthy to be called an apostle." That's awesome. That's great. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You say, "Jack, wait a minute. Aren't those two conflicting declarations? He says, I'm not worthy, but then he says, I am worthy." That's right. Paul says, "I'm not worthy to be a minister to you. And Jack is not worthy to be a minister to you." Why? Are you guys all listening? But are you guys listening over here? The reason why that's true is because Jesus bought you with his own blood. How can a human be called to the ministry of encouraging you, giving you the word, instructing you, when, listen, especially if you're a visiting minister right now, you don't own the sheep. You don't command the sheep. You teach the sheep. You invite the sheep. You don't beat the sheep. They ain't your sheep. And here's the cool part. A pastor is a sheep, is a shep. Sheep, shep, is a lamb. A pastor's a part of the flock also. The word pastor, bishop, is under shepherd. You know how we have the under rower? Ah, the pastor is the under shepherd. That's kind of fun. But you know, in this church, that I often remind the Lord, "Lord, they're your people. You died for them, and I'm one of them. We're all one in this together. So, Lord, how about this? You be the shepherd of this church, and I'll be your sheepdog." That's the part I like. Fleas and all, you know? God is good. It's all about Jesus. Secondly, we learned about that it's in verse 7 about humble, and that is knowing what we have from Jesus. This morning, you and I have a life that has been given to us by God. And listen what the Bible says. The Bible tells us to be content with that. Look at verse 7. "For who makes you to differ from one another?" By the way, you guys, go study this later. This is recorded as one of the most profound sarcasms that Paul ever lays down in Scripture. He lays down some pretty amazing sarcasms. He's a master of them. He begins right now one that is huge. Listen to this. "For who makes you to differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive?" Do you see what's going on? He's calling the church to realize you didn't do this yourself. You guys have puffed yourself up. You can hear the air going out of their head. Shh. You know when you hit one of those like inflatable beds? Psh. That's what's going on right now. You can feel it happening. You can hear it happening. And so you can hear the air going out as he continues. He says, "Now, if you did not indeed receive it, why do you boast as you had not received it?" Arrogance. He's talking about this. It's all from Jesus. It's all about Jesus. A church should be living, existing about Jesus. And he says, it's all about you guys. Your head is so puffed up. And he's saying, all that you think you have and all that you truly do have, hasn't it come from God? If it's come from God, then why are you puffed up about it? I mentioned something a couple weeks ago, and apparently I need to mention it again. It was about the women's bathroom. Have any of you women been in our women's bathroom in the foyer? Anybody? Raise your hand. Ladies, if you're a man and you raise your hand, you are out of here. Is that bathroom beautiful? You know that stuff was donated? What should we have done with the stuff he donated? What would you, huh? Well, you use it. But I guess we need to put a sign out there on the counter saying, this was all donated stuff, so don't get upset. Because recently somebody visited, they went into the bathroom, and they wrote a note to me, and they said, I won't be back to this church. The amount of money you must have spent on the bathroom offends me. Well, it's too bad you're not here to tell you that was donated. Well, if we would have had outhouses made out of plastic in there, would you have felt better? Would you have felt more holy? No. Listen, if you feel holy because you're sitting on something nice versus something plastic, then you're messed up. Either way, God blessed us. Now look, I'll be honest with you. Maybe this balance things out. Your feet are on the cheapest carpet money can buy. This is the junkiest carpet you can possibly buy. Does that make you feel better? What do we have? Oh boy, look at that's the church that's got the bathroom that's so nice for the women. You know what? Publicly, let me announce, Jesus brought that stuff to us. And we thank God for him. And we thank God for that stuff. A friend of mine in Texas, literally, they were building their church and they were digging with the backhoe, they hit oil. They did! What are they supposed to do with the oil? Give it to the ACLU? Give it to the atheist movement? It's all from Jesus. And Paul is saying, what do you have but what God has given you? I love that. I love that because God is faithful. Some quick verses, church, write them down. Jeremiah 3:15, God says, I will give you pastors according to my heart who will feed you. Here's the criteria. Who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. If you don't go to a church or you do go to a church that doesn't feed you Bible, then you need to get out of it. Yeah, but you know what? We're studying the 12 steps of how to become a happy person. Get out!
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called How Can We Serve You? It's a mini-series that takes a look at the first 14 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul explains how and why we believers are servants and stewards, as he puts it. Again, the title is How Can We Serve You? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack is with us here to tell us about our featured resource here in a minute. But you know what's kind of cool, Pastor Jack, is walking around the campus here, and I'll say, hey, you know what I read in the Bible this morning? And somebody will say, yes, I know exactly, because we're so all true. Reading the same thing, the one-year Bible. We're offering it as a resource. Tell us about it.
It's absolutely true, and it is awesome. 8 years running, we've been doing this, where the whole church together on January 1st starts going through the Bible together.
Right.
And we ended on December 31st in our private reading time, or wherever you're at, anywhere in the world, traveling, whatever. We read the one-year Bible as our devotion. And it's been amazing. It's, you know what, Davey? It's taken a big church and made it real small.
Right.
Because, like you said, we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool. And what we want to do as we approach December 31st and on the brink of a whole new year, we do this every year, is for the months of November and December, we make this available to the body, and it is the one-year Bible. And we're asking you guys to do the same thing. And so if you were to send us a donation of any size, we want to send this Bible to you.
And you're winking. Why are you winking at me?
I know. I hope they heard that. A donation of any size.
We want to get this into your hands.
That means send us a penny.
We want to get this into your hands.
Exactly. Send us a penny, and we will mail it to you. What kind of a deal is that?
That's a pretty good deal, if you ask
me. The Word of God, the eternal Word of God for one penny. Okay? So, listen, we want to hear from you, and Davey, tell them how.
Give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO, or you can get a hold of this resource at realradioactive.org. That's the best way, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.